You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today here on the program, another special edition of Family Talk. Gary Bauer is in studio with me. Gary is our Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, and we're going to get into a little more election conversation here today. Gary, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you, Roger. Great to be with you, and always, but particularly gratifying to have time at such an important moment in our country.
You know, one of the issues that we have discussed here throughout this campaign season is the fact that as Christians, we need to be engaged in the culture as it pertains to voting, that we believe firmly that this is a God-given right and not enough Christians steward it, which is why it's part of Dr. Dobson's passion. It's our passion as well. But Dr. Del Tackett is what we're going to hear from him today, talks about an issue that a lot of Christians will overlook, and that is not only the severity of how bad things are in the culture, but the need for Christians to engage the culture with a biblical worldview. I know we're looking forward to hearing this one together, aren't we, Gary?
Dr. Tackett is incredible. He's a real intellect. God has blessed him with a great deal of wisdom, but he is really zeroed in on what's at stake here. And I loved one of the big projects he has is this thing called the Truth Project. And let me tell you, Roger, I've been sentenced to work in Washington, D.C., and we desperately need truth in the halls of government, and we need it in our popular culture. The country that our founding fathers started so many years ago, and they started it based on what they learned by reading the Bible, was a major factor in making America. That country has brought more opportunity and more rights to more people than any civilization in the history of the world. We've sent more missionaries around the world than anybody else. We established the idea that it's not Caesar that gives people rights. Rights come directly from God. So if this place, if the lights go out here, Roger, another dark age will descend on the world. So for Christians to stand aside and say, oh, I don't want to get involved in any of that, Christians have been given a great gift to be in this country, to be born here, to live here. And that comes with a responsibility to do everything we can to save this country. And one of the ways you do that is by voting on Election Day. We're living in a blizzard of lies. And Dr. Tackett talks about that and why Christians are the ones that have the truth that our hurting culture desperately needs to hear.
Well, if you need any more inspiration, I mean, Gary gives us a pep talk every couple of days here on the broadcast as why it's important to exercise our vote on Election Day. And even early voting, if you're in a state that provides for that, I think 95% of Americans are covered by some kind of early voting provision. So make sure that you don't have any guesswork on November 5th. If you go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024, you'll find a voter guide. You'll find short reels, as they call them, shorts or reels. You'll also find long-form interviews. We're going to hear a snippet of one of those long-form interviews right now featuring Dr. Del Tackett of the Truth Project, as Gary mentioned, also the new Engagement Project, and why it's important for Christians to literally how your vote is standing up to cultural Marxism. The entire presentation, by the way, is found at drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. Let's get into an excerpt now of one of those presentations featuring Dr. Del Tackett on today's edition of Family Talk.
For the life of me, it's hard to understand how people can say that God doesn't care about politics. He does. The entire Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament, Elijah was called to speak to Ahab, to say, you do wrong. Elisha was called to stand before the kings. Jeremiah was called to speak against the kings. Those are political activities. And when Jesus had two guys come back from the Old Testament, Elijah and Moses, those are the two most politically active guys in the entire Old Testament. God cares about nations. You cannot read the word without understanding he cares about nations. We should have that same kind of care for the institution that God has created, we call the state. God is the one who has instituted that, and we should have a heart for that. And when it's going astray, we should have not only the heart for it, but the arms and feet to act, to do what we can, to bring as best we can the institution back towards God's design. So it's tough for me. And I talk to people who say, you know, God doesn't care about politics. You know, it's hard for me not to drop into a big lecture. I actually think it comes from several places. Number one, it's the loss of a biblical worldview. So when we don't have that biblical worldview and we have shrunk Christianity down to this very small slice of life, then we lose that understanding that God has not only spoken in every area of life, but in the cases we're talking about now, he has created those institutions, and those institutions were to bring him glory. Okay, so if you lose a biblical worldview, then you lose the understanding that God is the one who's designed these and we need to be a part of him. The second thing is selfishness. I think a lot of what's behind all of this, the reality is, somebody will come up with a justification as why we shouldn't be involved in politics because they don't want to be involved in politics. And so, you know, we fallen creatures have this great tendency always to try to justify why we have to get our way. And so we can do it in very pious ways. And so we can even preach in a way that helps justify the reason why I don't speak about political things. But I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's biblically correct. If we really want to follow God's design and do what God has called us to do, we ought to be people who care about righteousness and care about unrighteousness when it prevails, to do away with vile things in the land, to be a part of trying to bring about righteousness. And in terms of, you know, the impact on people, you know, do we care about people? You know, let me tell you, public policy has an impact on people. A huge impact on people. To me, to say, you know, I don't want to deal with politics is, well, you don't really care about people being hurt because there's a lot of public policy today that's hurting people. I really believe that the primary ethic that drives our culture today is compassion, but it's a malevolent compassion. And I think that's why it's important for us, not only adults, but for our children. We need to sit down and help our children understand just because someone uses the word compassion, or maybe you even feel compassion, that does not mean that is a righteous thing. You know, the scripture, for example, would say, if a man won't work, he won't eat. Today, we would say that is not compassionate. But see, God cares about it. The reason God says, I'm not going to feed you, is because I want you to be hungry. And the reason I want you to be hungry is not because I'm mean. I want you to be hungry because I want that hunger to drive you to do what you need to do that which will be good for you. So we can use compassion. I think it's a demonic thing. I will just say it. It's a demonic thing to pull our culture into thinking that compassion is always the right thing, and it is not. God disciplines those whom he loves, and discipline does not feel good. You know, that's what we read in the scripture, but he does it. Why? Because he loves us, because he wants us to be trained by discipline. The malevolent compassion that we see happening today doesn't want anybody to be uncomfortable, doesn't want anyone to have to suffer from anything. That is not a biblical pathway for people. It's not a biblical pathway for children. Children need to be trained by adversity. They need to be trained by discipline. If they are not, then actually what you're doing is you're dooming them. And we see the consequences of that today. People cannot handle adversity. You know, if you don't use my pronoun, then I have to go through therapy. They haven't been trained by adversity. Why? Because malevolent compassion has attempted to destroy any discipline, any consequences, so that if your actions result in bad consequences, God would say, that's good. You need to suffer because that hopefully will wake you up That's what his judgment does, is to try to wake us up. I think malevolent compassion has become the prime ethic in our culture. Virtually every public policy is now brought by the litmus test of compassion, but it's not righteous compassion. I remember our firstborn daughter did not want to eat anything green. If it was green, she would not eat it. And so my wife and I decided that the best thing for her was to sit in that high chair until she finally decided she was going to eat a green pea. Now, someone might say, you enjoy seeing your daughter suffer. And I say, absolutely not. I don't enjoy that. But I do know what is best for her in the long run. And I do know that the part of the training associated with children, and that includes adults as well, we need to be continually trained by the righteousness of God. Sure, there will be people who would say, well, you just enjoy seeing people suffer. And I say, well, that's totally wrong. That is just a false accusation. Because the reason I'm doing this is because I do care. Your compassion can drive you, if a homeless person wants money from you, your compassion can drive you to give them money. And I can guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, that would be turned into drugs, alcohol, and so forth. Now, you may feel better by giving them money. And I think that's what a lot of this has to do here. So I can feel better because I've done something compassionate. But in the end, I have hurt that individual. It could well be that I am the one that finally put him over the end. So that accusation can be made. But if we just look around the whole system of life and the training that we go through, I think it's clear that God isn't happy when he disciplines us. He doesn't say, wow, I can't wait to discipline you because he loves to see you suffer. No, God loves us and he disciplines us. Why? Because that discipline will train us towards righteousness. I've done a lot of study, as have other people. If you're familiar with Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Romanian pastor, he was horribly tortured underneath this whole Marxist theology and worldview. He did a serious study on the life of Marx, and he wrote a book called Marx and Satan. And the reason that title was on his book was because he was convinced that the Marxist worldview really came from Marx selling himself to Satan. I mean, that sounds so weird for us to say those things. I am convinced as well. I think Payne in his biography and other people, and there's a lot of evidence. I spent time reading Marx's poetry. And honestly, I would tell people, don't read it. It is so dark. It is so demonic. But Marx, I think, was used, therefore, as a tool by the enemy to bring forth a worldview which has destroyed millions and millions. We're talking about mass graves. Millions and millions of people have been slaughtered at the throne of Marxism. And to some extent, Marx kind of represents that image we see in Revelation. I'm not trying to pull us there, but, you know, the beast we thought had a fatal wound, but then revived because it has revived in Western culture. It didn't revive in the economic way that Marx originally started it. It revived by trying to pit minorities against others because the economic attempt to try and in America, for example, to help lower class and middle class people believe that they are oppressed by the upper class, that didn't fly here. And it didn't fly here because people say, well, wait a second, I have a job, I have 2 cars, I have a TV, and so forth. And so they had to find another way to bring about this revolution. And that revolution then came about as a result of finding people that we label minorities, and to convince them they were oppressed. And they were oppressed and had to then overthrow the ruling class. But Marx wanted to not just overthrow the ruling class, he wanted to destroy all of God's institutions. And that is why the phrase in Marxism from the very get-go was abolish the family, for example. Marx hated God and he hated everything that God had brought to us. All of the institutions that God, the human sexuality, marriage, family, church, he hated the church. Even labor, he wanted to destroy the notion, as God had designed, that people would work and labor and then be blessed by the fruit of their labor. He wanted to pull all of that into the hands of the state and to destroy the means of production and bring that up into the state, because the state becoming the owner of everything was supposedly then going to be in the position to be able to distribute everything equally. But we know there has not been one instance in the history of man where Marxism has truly done that. You know, when we finally went into Berlin, which was almost like going from a world of colors into a black and white world, the only palaces on the other side of that wall were held by the Marxist elites. So in reality, and I think this, the bottom line here is that people need to understand Marxism is a scam, and it will use, you know, Lenin's music, for example, Imagine, and it will lay out in this music this beautiful utopia associated with not everybody has the same amount. And so you can work 12, 16 hours a day in the farm and raise crops and not feel bad about the guy who sits around on the couch watching TV earning the same amount you do. That's a utopia. It doesn't exist. It can't, it will never exist, and it hasn't exist, and it won't now, but it is this utopian dream that the enemy lays before you, just like he laid before Eve in the garden. He laid before her a utopia that can't ever happen. You will never be like God, ever. There was a book that was written a number of years ago by Dave Breeze. It was called Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave. It's a great title because what he is basically saying is, if I can change your worldview, I can rule you way after I'm in the grave. And Marx is one of those. And so it's that worldview that it morphs a little bit, but it doesn't matter. It's the same kind of thing. And you articulated it well. What we do now is we search for more and more people who can believe the notion that they are oppressed and the solution is to destroy their oppressor. And so that's what the rise of the whole intersectionality, you know, where you can kind of grade, you know, how far are you on the scale of being oppressed? So I guess then relate to how much anger you should have. So we seek to find people who are oppressed. So, you know, we have the whole transgender thing, which has arisen quickly to provide a new oppressed class. But we also have now the criminal. So the criminal becomes the oppressed. And then malevolent compassion will cause us to say, well, look at these poor criminals. And why are they criminals? They're criminals because of this oppressive society around them. And so this is what's demonic. We switch everything around. So all of a sudden, you know, the criminal becomes the righteous person and the property owner becomes the oppressor. And so all these things associated with owning property and so forth. Now, here's the reality why it's a scam, because you can get someone to buy into all of this. And the Democratic Party, from my perspective, had bought the whole load. And that's why you look at the border situation. And it will always be couched in terms of people who are oppressed. And you who are trying to say you can't come in are the oppressor. But, you know, if they owned a coal store, they wouldn't do that, right? You wouldn't say, okay, or a Sam's or a Costco or whatever, and say, you know what? You really ought to let anybody in here and let them take whatever they want. Well, now that's impacting them personally. And so all of a sudden, they become a capitalist immediately. But see, Marxism is a scam that if we can somehow get the state power, because it's the elites who want the power, and we can convince you to join us, you will find in the end that it was just a scam. And that is exactly what will happen here. We are spinning ourselves into bankruptcy. And eventually people are going to say, we got scammed. all of us got scammed. My advice to people has been this, and that is that it is very easy to get caught up in the emotions of this fight. And I think it's unfortunate. We have words that are said that should never be said. We have emotions that are expressed that should never really be expressed. There are a lot of lies. There are so many lies that it is hard to even know where there's truth anymore. And so I basically tell people, look, your decision needs to be based upon what the platform says. I would even say, don't even listen to all of this rhetoric anymore. Just read the platform, because the platform is what will happen. Read the platform, because the platform is going to tell you exactly what this party is going to do. Make your decision based upon that. We need to be on our knees. We need to be praying and asking God, I believe, to bring repentance to our nation. So I think number one, you know, the people who are in Christ need to be in prayer. We need to plead with God. He has left a remnant in this land. We've been shaking our fist in the face of God for so many years, we should look like France or England, but we do not. There's a huge remnant here, and there's a reason for that. And so that remnant needs to be on our knees praying, asking God to bring repentance to our land. As we said before, inform yourself. Look at the platform so that you can discuss with people. You need to discuss it with your children. You need to discuss it with your neighbors. That, to me, is what we have to do. You know, we need to pray and get informed and act.
Words of exhortation from Dr. Del Tackett today here on this special edition of Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, back in studio with Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And Gary, as we've been sharing these excerpts from these videos that we put together at our Countdown to Decision 2024 website, that's drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. This one really hit me right between the eyes, because Dr. Del Tackett lays out, I think, very firmly and fairly, but also he doesn't mince words when it comes to what's really at stake on Election Day this year.
Well, you're absolutely right, Roger. And he brings something to the table that I think a lot of people just either aren't aware of or they haven't thought about it seriously. But he points out, and he does this regularly, that socialism, which is being presented as sort of this very nice feel-good thing. So I've even heard some people suggest that Jesus was a socialist. Oh, my goodness. we could do about 5 hours on that. But socialism is rooted in Marxism. And Amen. Marxism is a godless philosophy. It's an atheist philosophy. It's anti-God. In fact, any place in the world where Marxism slash socialism ends up prevailing, people die. I'll have people come up to me after a speech and they'll say, Mr. Bauer, I grew up in Cuba or Venezuela or China or here or there. And the same thing I saw in my country when it was sinking into Marxism, I'm seeing in America now. Please do something to warn Americans of what they're getting ready to be swallowed by. So foreigners that have come here understand it very well. A lot of Americans are still asleep.
Well, at the heart of everything we do here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, it's the family. We are fighting to preserve the institution of traditional marriage, biblical marriage, and things that God has ordained. One of the ways that you can reflect those values in the public square, making sure that you're registered to vote, but also that you exercise that right to vote. And when you go online to drjamesdobson.org, we have a special website. You'll find tabs that you can click onto for links for a voter guide, especially if you're in a swing state. We've got 10 different swing states we've identified. We have voters' guides for all of those. Dr. Owen Strand has a fantastic ebook on why it's important to not waste our vote this year, not waste it by not casting it or not waste it by voting against your biblical values, whether you realize it or not. Because as we've talked about in a previous program, you don't want to be, quote unquote, mean, as Pastor Jack Gibbs put it. You'll find that information for that ebook as well at drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. That's drjamesdobson.org/ countdown-to-decision-2024. Well, Gary, thank you so much for your thoughts and your comments, especially as we enjoyed this presentation from Dr. Del Tackett today. Always a pleasure to have you on the program with us.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Roger. Let's hope and pray that Christians all over America are listening and fulfilling their civic duty, and that we make Election Day Christian Visibility Day.
Amen and amen. And I'm Roger Marsh. For Dr. James Dobson, Gary Bauer, and the entire team here at the JDFI, thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.